Let's all do it together. Can I see a show of hands? There is one Lord. There is one God. There is one faith. There is one body. There is one baptism. There's one Spirit, and there's one hope. You don't just make this up from Ephesians. Paul is summarizing in Ephesians what is at the heart of the speeches of Acts when the Word was given, grew, multiplied. This is what Paul's talking about in 1 Corinthians 15 when he says, if you continue in the Word, then you will believe what I preached to you, what you received, by which you are being saved.
You're listening to Life on the West Side. Here's Nathan Guy.
The book of Acts is where we're going to be tonight, because we're looking for the gospel in every book of the Bible. And now we're in the book of Acts. Acts has like 20 speeches. And when Paul gives doctrine in his letters, maybe you remember this phrase, 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, do you remember the things I preached to you? The things you received? The things by which you are being saved if you continue in the Word and the teaching? So Paul, even when he writes letters giving doctrine, he seems to be reminding them of what they heard when he preached. That's important, because in the book of Acts, you have speeches, primarily speeches of Paul and Peter. And these are different ways to approach this great proclamation. But there's some things that just line up over and over again in those speeches. We've done this for years. We've seen the value of this. I wonder how many of you, I don't have to do a show of hands, but I wonder how many of you remember Bible studies in someone's home, where you get out sort of one of those spreadsheets and say, let's take a look at every conversion story in the book of Acts. And what are the elements that appear in every conversion story? And we find things, for example, one of the arguments made, and I think a good one, for why baptism is such an integral part of the story of conversion, is you find it mentioned over and over again in these conversion stories. So by looking at what was preached, what was done, let's take a look at the chart. The only thing I want to do here is I want to add something. Those charts were primarily focused on the actions done. I want to look at the message preached, and I'm looking for the gospel. The gospel is the announcement that Jesus Christ is Lord, because God in Christ, through his death, burial, and resurrection, has set up his everlasting kingdom, uniting one family, forgiving sins, pouring out his Spirit, is going to return one day. And this great news is brought to you, you know, by the letters G-R-A-C-E. We are saved by his grace. What I want to do is I want to look for what the gospel is according to the speeches in the book of Acts. We're going to do a little bit of an old-fashioned Bible study. I'd like you to get your Bibles out and follow along. We're going to kind of go back and forth with some passages. But I'd like you, this is all in the book of Acts. I'd like you, for example, to look in Acts chapter 6 and verse 7. I want to focus for a second on the word. It feels like second nature for us to equate word with the Bible. If someone says, this year, my New Year's resolution is to get more into the Word, they probably mean, I want to read my Bible more. Word can mean that, does mean that. But I want you to remember that when the book of Acts was being written, there was no New Testament yet. It hadn't been written. It hadn't been collected. It wasn't sitting on people's nightstand. And most people didn't have an Old Testament sitting on their nightstand either. Most sharing was by word of mouth. And if you wanted to read or hear something read, you'd go to synagogue, you'd go to temple. So with that background, notice the way the word appears in the book of Acts. Acts 6 and verse 7, the word of God grew. Do you see that? Some other places we have the same language. Acts 12, 24, the word of God multiplied. Acts 19, verse 20, the word of God prevailed. Okay, there are three places where the phrase word of God appears. And the book of Acts seems to be saying whatever this is was available and growing and prevailing and making a difference. The next place I want you to turn is chapter 4, verse 4, Acts 4, 4. Sometimes the phrase isn't word of God. Sometimes it's just word. In Acts 4, verse 4, many who heard the word believed. And not just that, they didn't just believe it, they preached it. Acts 11, verse 19. Those who were scattered traveled preaching the word. Okay, so we've seen the phrase the word of God and the phrase the word that seems to be readily available in the book of Acts. Now, there are some other beautiful variations. In Acts 8, 25, you have the word of the Lord. In Acts 19, 10, you have the word of the Lord Jesus. And then my favorite variation is Acts 20, 32. Now may the word of his grace build you up. The question I want to ask you to think about is, what is the book of Acts talking about? When it talks about the word of God, the word of the Lord, what's it talking about? Let's go through some options. I don't believe it can mean the Old Testament writings. The reason for that is because in Acts 17 and verse 11, the text says when Paul was preaching, the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they received, quote, the word. And then they compared it with the Old Testament scriptures. So the word that they received was consistent with the scriptures, but was different from it. Received the word, compared it with the scriptures. Okay, I don't think it can mean the New Testament writings because they hadn't been written or collected yet. Another possibility that some will say is, well, it means the message that the apostles were preaching that eventually would be written down and collected and called the New Testament. I can understand the argument for that. And if that's your view, the conclusion will be the same for where I'm trying to go with this. Because the conclusion would be that the speeches of Acts, which reveal the word that's being prevailed, if that is the summary of the central teachings that eventually become the New Testament, then we have the guide through which to read the New Testament. But I want to make an argument slightly different. I believe the phrase the word, or the word of God, or the word of the Lord, or the word of his grace in the book of Acts means the gospel. I want to show you explicit and implicit proof. Explicit. Acts 15 and verse 7. Paul is speaking, and Paul says, God made a choice among us that the Gentiles, by mouth, should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Now, earlier in the book, word and gospel are linked again. Acts 8 and verse 25. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. I believe word and gospel are interchangeable in the book of Acts. The word of the Lord, the word of his grace, is the message of the gospel. In Acts 10 and verse 36, preaching the word equals preaching peace by Jesus Christ. It's preaching the good news of salvation. This is why Acts says to Abraham's children and to the Gentiles, Acts 13, verse 26, the word of this salvation has been sent. Paul's going to do the same thing in Ephesians 1 with this language where he says, after you heard the word of truth, comma, the gospel of your salvation. Do you see how word and gospel are equaled? We see it in Luke, Luke 2. The angel brings good tidings, gospel, of great joy to all the people. And then back in Acts, Acts 13 and verse 48, the gospel goes not just to the Jews, but to the Gentiles. And quote, when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. I've tried to argue that word, the word that prevails, the word that grows, the word that everybody seems to have, is the gospel. It's also why the word in the book of Acts is attached to all the things that we think of when it comes to responding to the gospel. For example, we're supposed to hear the gospel, correct? In Acts 4 and verse 4, they heard the word. We're supposed to believe the gospel. And in Acts 4, verse 4, they believe the word. How can you hear without a preacher? And so the apostles and the ministers in the book of Acts go about speaking the gospel, teaching the gospel, preaching the gospel, publishing the gospel, and testifying. But in all these verses, it uses the phrase, the word. In Acts 8 and verse 14, you can receive the word. In Acts 2:41, they that gladly received the word were baptized. So you have hearing and believing. You have preaching and being baptized, all connected to the word. And in Acts 10, you have the receiving of the Holy Spirit connected to receiving the word. And that's why in Acts 15 and verse 36, preaching the word of the Lord makes people brothers and sisters of each other. So, what have I tried to argue so far? Just using the book of Acts, trying to follow the language. Word of God doesn't seem to me in the book of Acts primarily to refer to your Bible. Acts uses the phrase word of God, word of the Lord, word of his grace to mean the gospel. The question for the rest of our time then is what's included in the gospel? It's not everything in the New Testament. There's a lot in the New Testament. God means all of it, but that's not the gospel. The gospel is the message that was preached by which that you believed, by which you are being saved as you continue in, quote, the word. So we're looking for what it includes. In the early years of the American Restoration Movement, there were people from lots of different backgrounds, and they were rethinking how to respond to Jesus. And somewhere between 1827 and 1830, there was a preacher from the Mahoning Baptist Association by the name of Walter Scott. And Walter Scott had been listening and learning from some of the main names and leaders you think of in the Restoration Movement. And so he began to preach what he was hearing. And he would go to places and do what we would call gospel meetings. But to get ready for it, he'd go early. He'd gather all the kids in the neighborhood, and he would say, go home and tell your parents, I'm going to preach a sermon, and use your five fingers to tell them what I'm about to preach. This was the original five-finger exercise. Walter Scott would say, tell your parents that Acts 2:38 teaches this, faith, repentance, baptism, which leads to remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. That was the original five-finger exercise. Many of us learned the five-finger exercise in Sunday school, but it was a different five. Maybe you learned the way I did. Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized. And I think the whole arm was the remain faithful part. But you know, understand, you learned the five-finger
exercise.
What am I trying to argue so far?
Just
this simple lesson created a handy way,
sorry about that,
to remember
Word of God
how to respond to the gospel.
To me in the book of
I have
Acts,
always been grateful to Scott Adair, who teaches at heart,
to your
for helping me find a handy
Acts
way.
Acts uses the phrase Word of God,
not just
Word
to know how
Lord,
to respond
grace,
to the gospel,
to mean the gospel,
but what's included in the gospel.
The question for the rest of
We've
our time,
We've done this before
then,
from the pulpit. I want to do it again, but I want to show you how
in the
all
gospel.
Of these are found in the
not
speeches
everything in the New Testament.
Of the book of Acts.
There's a lot of there's a
not
lot in the New
everything
Testament.
That Paul
God means
said
all
was recorded in Acts.
But that's not
everything
gospel.
Peter said was recorded in Acts. Why were the things
gospel
that were
the
recorded
that
recorded?
Was preached
I think
by
the answer is because this is
by
the outline
which you are being saved
of the essential characteristics
in, quote,
of what the gospel includes. I think the full summary of it is best found in Ephesians chapter 4, where Paul says, if you want to know what brings unity to God's people, it's these seven ones. But I'm going to go through those and show you from the speeches of Acts that this has always been the foundational stones of what the gospel is. Okay, so we've done this before. Some of you are pros. Let's remember this. When you're watching Happy Days and Fonzie tries to tell you that everything's okay, he does what? Hey, all right. And even now, if you want to say everything's fine, you say A-okay. When we baptize a person, we ask them one question. How much can you give to the church? No, I'm just kidding. We ask them one question. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? And we answer with, yes, I do. The first thing that the gospel includes, that all the speeches of Acts point to, is that Jesus is Lord. Take a look in Acts 2 and verse 36. The concluding line of Peter's sermon in Acts 2 is that God has made him, the one who was crucified, both Lord and Christ. That's the sermon to the Jews of Acts 2. His famous sermon to the Gentile in Acts 10 concludes with this line: He is Lord of all. Clearly, the lordship of Jesus is central to what the gospel is, as declared by the speeches of Acts. And in Ephesians 4, Paul says, there is one Lord. Okay, next, put up your first finger. And you'll notice there are little indention lines, which is very helpful because God knew I wanted to use this illustration. There is one God, Father, Son, and Spirit. I believe central to the gospel is that there is one God, Father, Son, and Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, verses 31 through 33, Peter's speech says that this Jesus, God raised up and then showed forth through the promised Holy Spirit. One God, three persons. In Acts 10, the big speech to the Gentile, Peter tells Cornelius in Acts 10, verse 38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, for God was with him. Unlike the pagans who worshiped a multiplicity of gods, the gospel says there is one God, Father, Son, and Spirit. And in Ephesians 4, Paul says there is one God. Okay, next up is the second finger here, and this makes the peace sign. Okay? Richard Nixon fans in the room. Okay. This one, just think of a roller coaster as your finger goes down and then up. And I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It's most clearly in Romans 6, but you see it in Acts. In Acts 2, verses 23 through 24, Peter's famous sermon says, by wicked hands you crucified the Son of God, but God raised him up. In Acts 3 and verse 15, Peter says, you killed the Prince of Life, but God raised him from the dead. In Acts 10, his famous speech to the Gentile, they slew Jesus, they hanged him on a tree, but him God raised up the third day. It's what we believe, that the Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection is the foundation of our faith. And Paul says there is one faith. Okay, next is your ring finger. And your ring finger symbolizes that you're married. We're married to Christ, and everyone who belongs to Christ belongs to his church. And as Paul says in Galatians, there may be Jews and Gentiles, maybe males and females, but we're all one in Christ Jesus. This oneness is a central category of the gospel. In Acts 10, in verse 36, in his speech to the Gentile, the word that is preached is the word of peace in Jesus Christ. Those who gladly received his word in Acts 2 were added to their number. The many became one. The story gets better. In Acts 10, Peter is preaching that Jewish background is not essential. But, quote, in every nation, Acts 10:35, those who fear God and work righteousness are acceptable to him. And then God demonstrated that fact. The Jewish believers were astonished because the Spirit of God was also poured out on the Gentiles who were baptized and then added to the body. And in Acts 13, Paul said, all who fear God can receive this word of salvation. In Ephesians 4, Paul says, a central category is that there is one body. Next, we have the pinky finger. This is the weakest finger of all. And the weakest finger reminds us that we are weak. We fall short. Recognizing that we have sin and that there is forgiveness for our sins. We know that all have come short of the glory of God. We all go to God on bended knee. And when we baptize someone, we usually send them backward. Do you realize that the only thing you do in baptism, next time someone says to you, I don't believe in baptism, I don't believe what works are required to be saved, say, you know what my work is in baptism? Bending my knees. Baptism is something done to you. You bend your knees. And isn't that the teaching of the gospel? Lord, I want to be saved. And he says, bend your knees. We acknowledge his lordship in our baptism, and we receive forgiveness of sins. In Acts 13, verse 38, Paul says, through this man, what is preached to you is the forgiveness of sins. In Acts 10, 43, Peter tells Cornelius, through his name, whoever believes in him shall receive forgiveness of sins. And in Acts 2, 38, and Acts 22, 16, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Paul says there is one baptism in which we receive forgiveness of sins. All right, next. We've done the one Lord, one God, one faith, one body, one baptism. Next, you put your palm straight out like you're receiving a gift. We receive the gift of God's Holy Spirit. It's so important that we remember that part of the gospel is that you are not the solution, you are the problem. The Spirit that God gives us is the power to live the life God wants us to live. And so we receive the gift of God's Holy Spirit. Acts 2 and verse 38. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 10, it was the fact that the Spirit had fallen on them that proved that they too had been accepted by God. There is one Spirit, Paul says in Ephesians 4. There's one more. One Lord, one God, one faith, one body, one baptism, one Spirit. And then take that hand and raise it up to God. There is one hope. That hope is the hope of resurrection and renewal. That hope is that what we see and feel now is not the end of the story. God will make everything right. And what do we have in Acts 3 and verse 19? Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, that the times of refreshing may come when the Lord is sent, until the times of restitution of all things that God's been talking about. Paul says in Acts 10 and verse 42, Peter preached that judgment was to come. But Paul said in Acts 20 and verse 32 that there's an inheritance that we who believe in Christ are going to receive. Our hope for the resurrection, dramatized in the water of baptism, reminds us that the world watching is watching people getting ready for something better. We await a glorious future. And in Ephesians 4, Paul says there is one hope. Let's all do it together. Can I see a show of hands? There is one Lord. There is one God. There is one faith. There is one body. There is one baptism. There's one Spirit, and there's one hope. You don't just make this up from Ephesians. Paul is summarizing in Ephesians what is at the heart of the speeches of Acts when the word was given, grew, multiplied. This is what Paul's talking about in 1 Corinthians 15 when he says, if you continue in the word, then you will believe what I preached to you, what you received, by which you are being saved. I do believe that there are all kinds of people in our world, religious people, who want some of those things, not all of them. And I think that's failing to appreciate the book of Acts. And sometimes we want to include things that are not included and treat them as if this is what it means to really know Christ and to really be saved. Let the Bible speak for itself. Acts is telling us what the gospel is all about. And if you would like to accept and believe the gospel, Christ is ready to be Lord of your life. The same God who raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit wants to make you members of one body. He wants to give you forgiveness of your sins, the gift of His Holy Spirit, and the promise of everlasting life.
Thanks for joining. No one has ever loved you like Jesus Christ. I hope you feel that love in every sermon that's preached on this podcast. You can find more sermons, transcripts, study guides at nathanguy.com. Please stay tuned for another lesson and rest in the love of Christ.